Certainly an exciting day for the Edmonton Oilers to acquire Duncan Keith.
Just felt like the Edmonton Oilers right now, it was a good fit, a great fit. Excited to start this new chapter of my career and try to win a cup in Edmonton.
It's always been my goal to be able to stay in Edmonton, and it's just what I've wanted. I've loved my time in Edmonton so far. The team is progressing the way we want it to, and I want to be a part of that. And obviously, the biggest reason I want to stay is I want to win at Edmonton.
Here's McCabe, all the way, scores!
Welcome to the Locked On Oilers podcast for this Thursday, October 7th. I'm your host, Hernan Salas from TSN 1216, the Two Guys in a Goalie podcast. Connect with me on Twitter at Hernan the Man and at Locked On Oilers. Today we'll be joined by Pete Jensen, NHL Senior Fantasy Editor at NHL.com. He's going to get us set with tips and advice and sleepers and rookies and all that fun stuff for your NHL fantasy drafts. I know we're doing ours this weekend. It's going to be fun. It's always a good time. But Pete Jensen's going to set that all up for us and give us some great takes when it comes to NHL fantasy. That's coming up in minutes from now. Of course, the Edmonton Oilers are in action today as they take on the Vancouver Canucks in game number 7 of the preseason. And we got some lineups for you as well. It's kind of what we saw yesterday at practice. So we'll go Draisaitl, McDavid, Puljujarvi is your first line. Hyman, RNH, and Kyle Turris are your second line. Fogel, Ryan, and Cassian are your third line. And the bubble line, Tyler Benson with Ryan McLeod and Colton Sevier will be your fourth line. The Pearl, Perlini gets the night off, as does Devin Shore. Defensively, Nurse with Barry, Heath with CeCe. Chris Russell, first time this preseason, we'll see him. He'll play with Evan Bouchard, and Mike Smith gets the start in net. They'll be taking on a NHL-ready Vancouver lineup as well. And this one should be a fun one down at Rogers Place. They close out the season on Saturday from Vancouver. Then we get going for real next Wednesday, which is going to be great. So again, I just want to kind of reiterate here, like, don't look too much into these lineups. I saw so much people upset on online today about Draisaitl, McDavid playing. Like, guys, Turris is not going to be in your tops, okay? Unless he comes out and scores a hat trick today, it's not going to happen. Yamamoto's out. He's a little banged up. Some other guys are resting that have played a lot. Shore and Perlini have played a lot. And so and during the season, we're going to see McDavid and Draisaitl a lot. So it's not a problem. There's a reason why they went out and got depth. So when these guys are playing together, you have a good second, third, and fourth line, where last year you didn't. If they weren't going, you knew you weren't going to get much help offensively. So let's pump the brakes, relax. It's not the end of the world. It's a preseason game, okay? And we always see line juggling, and we're going to see it in the season. So what are you watching today? I'm going to be watching Turris and that fourth line. Colton Sevier, Ryan McLeod, Tyler Benson got to show a little bit more here. Who's going to step up? And I am going to be watching Keith and CeCe for their second game. I want to see how they play. Both guys are taking a bit of heat for their performance so far. It's a little unfair for Keith because he only played one game, but we'll see that group today. And yeah, just see how Mike Smith is in between the pipes. It was funny yesterday in his press conference. How many preseasons do you think you need? He's like zero. Didn't you see last year? It's pretty funny. So Mike Smith is ready to go, man. He is ready to go. And quickly, some news from around the NHL. Jared Bednar, of course, the coach of the Avalanche, has tested positive for COVID-19. He will miss 2 preseason games. Senators Colin White will require surgery. He's out 4 to 6 months. That's a big blow for them. Senators signed former Oiler Tyler Ennis to a 1-year contract extension. And Price taking part in the NHL, NHLPA player assistant program that was announced today by their general manager, Mark Bergevin. And we wish Carey Price all the best. So don't know exactly what's going on there. It's none of our business, to be honest, but wish him all the best. He's one of the great guys in hockey, one of the great goaltenders. So all the best to Carey Price. But you guys came here for some fantasy tips and advice, so let's get right to it. As I now welcome in Pete Jensen, NHL Senior Fantasy Editor at NHL.com. You can connect with him on Twitter at NHL Jensen. Pete, good to have you on the podcast as we near the start of the regular season. And I want to talk to some fantasy sports with you as, of course, everyone does some NHL fantasy drafts. So we need some tips and advice from you here today. But first off, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. We're, inching closer to the start of the regular season. So it's our prime fantasy draft time. Obviously, you know, there are so many storylines around the league, so we touch on all 32 different teams on our podcast, NHL Fantasy on Ice. We're going to be doing an NHL Network draft special this Friday in the United States, October 8th. So everybody should check that out. And then all of our coverage can be found on NHL.com/fantasy.
Yeah, busy time for you guys. Let's get right to it. I mean, you know, it's interesting. I think in every draft, or you always hear stories, Pete, like, oh, my buddy had the first overall pick and he didn't take Connor McDavid. And there's always someone trying to, like, you know, change the course of a draft and all that. But, I mean, let's start off with the most obvious fantasy question for this season. You guys have Connor McDavid at one. I think everyone has Connor McDavid at one.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think his career trajectory is just going up, up, and up. So obviously with 105 points in 56 games last year, I think more of the conversation is not should you take McDavid at one. I think it's how high is his ceiling going to be. Is he going to this season surpass Nikita Kucherov, who scored 128 points a couple years ago? That's the most in a single season among active NHL players. So, you know, I think, you know, that's the question that people are asking themselves. So therefore, I really don't think it's a debate here. I think, you know, we have projected McDavid for 132 points, Drysdale not that far behind him at 119. Obviously Kucherov, you can't write him off to have a similar ceiling to McDavid, but the Lightning have played so much hockey the past couple of years that I just think that it's such a safe bet, maybe the safest of any, you know, different scenario in the league for a player to a particular scoring category is McDavid to lead the league in points. Probably with at least 120.
Now you have Leon Draisaitl at two, and is it as simple because Nathan McKinnon's there, Kucherov and Matthews round out the top five? I mean, after McDavid, I think if you take any of those four players, you're going to be all right. But Leon Draisaitl at two for you guys, is it because of who he plays with and the power play here in Edmonton?
Well, it's funny. You look at his, you know, so many different offensive categories over the past three seasons. He's second in almost all of them, like points and goals and assists, and the damage those guys do together on the power play is enormous. So even if you're looking at the Oilers in the preseason and saying, hey, you know, I'm a little worried about Drysdale. He's given it even strength, you know, it's Zach Hyman and it's Jesse Puljujarvi. And should I be worried? You should not be worried because, you know, it's probably going to be McDavid and Drysdale leading the NHL in power play points. Mm-hmm. If Drysdale's healthy, which he's shown a lot of durability past couple of years, you know, very safe pick for 100 plus points. You could always say, oh, McKinnon's point pace has been 110 each of the past 2 years. Yeah, but he hasn't gotten there. Panarin has great, you know, ceiling with the New York Rangers, but he's never scored 100 points before. It's hard to score 100 points in the NHL. Only a few players have done it in the past decade. Drysdale's done it a couple of times, and you know, if you're looking at points-only leagues especially, like I just took Drysdale second. There was nobody else in the same conversation for me in one of my drafts recently. So, yeah, I do think that there are other guys like Kucherov and McKinnon mm-hmm. who you can make a case for at number two, but nobody has the safety blanket of Leon Draisaitl at that spot.
One more Oiler question here, and then we'll get into bargains and sleepers and all that fun stuff. For guys like Zach Hyman and Jesse Puljujarvi, who are going to see power play time, they're going to be that net front presence. Hyman to start, Jesse Puljujarvi to close it out. They're both going to play with Connor McDavid. It's what we think here to start. Dave Tippett is going to mix up his top six quite a bit, but that's the first look. I think it's going to be Hyman with McDavid and Puljujarvi. Hyman and Puljujarvi, where would you, if you're selecting these guys and you want one of these Oiler guys that are going to play with McDavid, where would you kind of select?
I would take Zach Hyman as high as 100 overall, maybe even a couple of picks before that. I think you'll find in a lot of drafts that that range of 75 to 100 is a little underwhelming. You're either going to have some breakout guys to reach for, like, say, Jack Hughes or Cole Caulfield, you know, guys like that, or you're going to have some of the, you know, the older guys mm-hmm. like Tyler Seguin and Joe Pavelski and some of these other guys, that Blake Wheeler, that, you know, some of these guys that maybe we've seen the best of them to this point. The thing I'm most excited by far and away for off-season movers is that Hyman is going to have the platform to transform his like category coverage, where he already covers points at even strength. He already covers hits. He always has through his first few NHL seasons. But now he's going to add power play points to that mix, and he's going to be out there getting secondary assists left and right on Draisaitl and McDavid goals. I mean, Hyman is almost a lock to be on power play one this season, whereas he could never sniff that with the Toronto Maple Leafs through the years with all their star power. So I think Edmonton definitely has, you know, that fifth spot up for grabs. So I would reach for Hyman around 100 overall, and I think he could finish top 30, top 25. That's how high the ceiling is for Hyman with exposure to those guys and power play one duties. For Puljujarvi, much later in the game for me.
Okay.
I still don't have full trust in the player. You know, when you look at the expectations, how he's fallen short. Mm-hmm. Last year, I expected him to be a sleeper. He didn't pan out. You know, he's doing it in the preseason here, but is he really going to stick on that line for a full season and deliver? I have my doubts. So I'm taking Jesse Puljujärvi in the later rounds of my draft just because I'm considering him again because of this strong preseason, but I'm not like putting all my chips in, you know, in front of Jesse Puljujärvi, expecting him to be a savior to get the Oilers, you know, over the hump in the playoffs, or even to deliver a high-level fantasy performance. The consistency is the thing that worries me about Puljujärvi. You know, he has the skill set, but he just hasn't put it together quite yet.
We're back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back for another football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Don't forget to use promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. Bet online, where the game starts. Hey, Oilers fans, this is Hernan Salas with an incredible app everyone who buys gas needs to know about, Get Upside. My listeners are making up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas every time they fill up. Just download the free Get Upside app in the App Store or Google Play right now. Use promo code HOCKEY and get a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first fill up. That's up to 50 cents cash back. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using Get Upside. Just download the app for free and use promo code HOCKEY to get up to 50 cents per gallon cashback on your first tank. Some people who drive a lot are making as much as $200 to $300 a month in cashback, and there's no catch. The cashback gets added right to your account. You can cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Get Upside app and use promo code HOCKEY. Pete Jensen, NHL Senior Fantasy Editor at NHL.com, joining me here on the Locked On Oilers podcast. And I lied, one more Oilers question. Tyson Barrie led all defensemen in scoring last year. I mean, he's the point man on this dynamic power play that we have in Edmonton. He's once again probably going to play top pairing minutes with Darnell Nurse. He's going to see a lot of that power play time. You guys have him ranked 13th for defensemen. Did you just see him tailing off a bit here during the season? That's why he's kind of ranked a little bit lower?
Yeah, well, with Tyson Barrie, it's, you know, I know they brought him back. He had the one-year deal there, and then they brought him back. So, he led the position in scoring, obviously, but definitely Tyson Barrie, you have in recent years, you've seen the ceiling of the player and you've also seen the floor.
Yeah.
Like what he did in Toronto was closer to the floor. What he did last year and what he did for years in Colorado was closer to the ceiling. So I just worry about the floor a little bit for Tyson Barrie. If Darnell Nurse does take power play one duties, or if they do even make a transition at some point during the season for whatever reason toward like an Evan Bouchard type player as a sneaky rookie eligible type guy, or maybe he's not rookie eligible, but he's still very young. So, yeah, I just think that Tyson Barrie is a bit of a risk taking him in the top 50 overall, where you would normally take a guy who just led the position in scoring, but I just have a little bit of worry about his two-way game and how it could lead to production closer to his floor as opposed to him replicating his ceiling for consecutive seasons, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, fair enough. It's going to be interesting to see it, at least in my draft, where Tyson Berry goes. But yeah, I don't disagree with on your takes on Tyson Berry. Now, looking at just one last one on the on your rankings here, the only goaltender to make the top 20 is Andrei Vasilevskiy. Of course, we all know what he's done. They've played a ton of hockey, like you mentioned, but he's ranked sixth right now. He's probably the only goalie that you would take that early and then kind of just sit back and because you're going to get a good goalie regardless of where you select him. But is Vasilevskiy just that one guy that you should grab early on?
Yeah, there's a lot of separation from him to the second, third, and fourth guys. I think there's a good debate for number two at the goalie position between, you know, Connor Hellebuck, Robin Lehner, who's going to be the full-time starter after Marc-Andre Fleury was traded, and Darcy Kuemper. You know, with Darcy Kuemper, you have obviously some concerns right now about that team. I know they're a cup favorite, cup contender, but, you know, Devon Taves is injured. They don't have Eunice Donskoy anymore. Obviously, Pavel Francouz, who was expected to be healthy and the viable backup to Kuemper, is out for 3 to 4 weeks right now. The news just came out today, so... It's just a lot of concerns and very, very high expectations for Darcy Kuemper. And can he actually deliver based on what we think his capability is? And he has an injury history of his own. So, yeah, to answer your question, I wouldn't take any of those other guys in the top 20 overall.
Okay.
I'd start to look at Leonard at number two, and especially Hellebuck, you know, if your league counts saves. If your league values workhorses more than efficient timeshare guys, then Connor Hellebuck is the clear number two in a format like that.
Moving on now, let's look at some different categories here. One of my favorite ones is always sleepers, Pete. And everybody deems to take a sleeper in their drafts, and you guys have Mackenzie Weegar at number one. I love the Connor Garland at five. I also like Joel Farabee at 10, who I had last year and who was quite a pleasant surprise. But yeah, sleeper wise, Mackenzie Weegar won, and just kind of give us some feedback as to why.
Sure, yeah, I just took Mackenzie Weegar in the same league that I took Aaron Ekblad, their defense pairs.
Okay.
And last year Weegar really thrived when Ekblad was in the lineup. Ekblad was having a career year and Weegar was one of the biggest surprises. And then it was really telling, I thought, when Ekblad went down, Weegar took another step forward. We thought maybe he would fall out of fantasy relevance once Ekblad, you know, was out of the mix. But he scored 17 points in 19 games, covered plus minus, covered hits, you know, all these categories while Ekblad wasn't there. So, and I just think that name is still very underrated. I'm getting Weegar in almost all of my drafts this year because he covers hits. You know, target him as like a third or fourth defenseman,
okay,
and I think you'll be in really great shape. So, yeah, and then you mentioned Farabee. I mean, the guy is only 21 years old, and he had 10 multi-point games last year and led the Flyers in goals in the shortened season. So I think he still has another gear to reach in the years to come. You know, hopefully for his sake, you'll see a little bit more stability for the team and maybe a bounce back from Carter Hart, and you'll see some of these off-season changes pan out. I'm not bullish on the Flyers, but I am big on Joel Farabee as a sleeper and, you know, just a guy to covet in keeper league.
Pete, if you can give us a few rookies that my strategy is I usually take them, but I take them really late, and I don't take a lot of rookies just because the unknown, and unless you're getting a steal like Kaprizov last season. But for my listeners here, maybe two or three rookies that you think are going to make an impact this year.
Yeah, so there's a big three. They're all U.S.-born players. I think they're going to finish in the top three in the Calder. And I think you can get good value on these guys in your fantasy draft. So start with Spencer Knight. Got thrown into the fire last year, went 4-0 in the regular season, won game five, facing elimination in his playoff debut. You know, super high ceiling for him. If you're in a keeper league, Spencer Knight is one of the 5 or 10 best players in the whole NHL that I would want on my keeper league roster for the next few years. So, yeah, I'm big on Spencer Knight. He could be the first goalie potentially to win the Calder Trophy since Steve Mason in 2009. We're going way back there.
But yeah,
I think that, you know, it's really realistic. We've seen a wave of rookie goalies now 2 straight years. And I think he could actually win it. But then you got Cole Caulfield, who flashed his brilliance in the playoffs. Definitely a candidate to score 25, 30 goals playing with Nick Suzuki for the Canadiens on the top line. So Cole Caulfield is another one. You can get him around 100 overall pretty easily. And then Trevor Zegras, though. Zegras might be the guy to steal away the Calder from Spencer Knight. If the Panthers don't live up to their lofty expectations, Zegras is available around 150 or later because he's on a bad team in the Anaheim Ducks. But you look at Zegras and Jamie Drysdale, fellow rookie defensemen, these guys could be, you know, the next big thing in terms of a forward defenseman, young duo to stack in fantasy and to single-handedly or collectively, I should say, take the Ducks from kind of a more boring brand of hockey to the more exciting offensive flair that people are hoping for out there. So, yeah, Zegras, and good news, they're playing him on the top line center in the preseason. So Trevor Zegras, if he sticks in that spot, plays power play one, you know, he's out there with Drysdale on the power play. He's playing with Raquel and Comtois at even strength. I would pencil him in for 50-plus points, and that would definitely put him into the Calder conversation as well.
Yeah, I love all three of those picks. Definitely highlighted them on my cheat sheet here. Pete, give us one bargain and one maybe player to stay away from this year.
A bargain? Go for Miro Heiskanen in the middle rounds, like around 75 overall. Obviously, defenseman is a very coveted position. When you get deeper down the line, it's not pretty these days.
So. Yeah.
Make sure you address your defensemen in fantasy drafts. I would recommend people to take, you know, including Heiskanen, who I'm saying is a big bargain. You know, go out there and try to get 3 defensemen in the top 100 overall players. So he's been knocking at the door at different points, but this is his year to have the full-fledged breakout in the regular season. John Klingberg's in a contract year. Heiskanen, a couple of postseasons ago, finished top 5 among all players in scoring, including forwards. So had like 26 points in 29 games or something like that. So he definitely has a chance to erupt here. Our bold prediction for the Dallas Stars is that Heiskanen could lead all defensemen in scoring this year. So maybe in the same conversation as the fellow young studs like Adam Fox and, of course, Cale Makar. So that's what we're looking at here. I think that people are, you know, kind of underestimating how high the ceiling still is for Miro Heiskanen. And then in terms of guys to avoid based on ADP, I know there have been big goalie moves this offseason. Philip Grubauer, I mentioned Kemper. I'm big on Kemper. But Philip Grubauer in Seattle, the expansion team, and Marc-Andre Fleury. These are two guys that are very like, they're still going very high in drafts. Like Fleury's going in the top 50. Philip Grubauer is going in the top 60 or so. These are guys that are going to take a step back this year. They just don't have the same resources around them. You know, the strong defense they had in Colorado, the elite scoring guys they had in Colorado. Seattle's kind of like, it's an open canvas for guys to overachieve, but it's not a security net like he had in Colorado. Same goes for Fleury, who's another year older, coming off the Vezina, so a lot of people will take him high, but the defense in Chicago may very well be the worst, or one of the worst for sure, that he's ever played behind in his NHL career. So it's just like, one or two guys go down with an injury in Chicago, it could get ugly. It may not even be Fleury's fault, but that's what they're dealing with here. I think both of those guys will be less valuable than they were last year when they were both Vezina finalists. So I know you asked for one, but
no, that's great.
Two of the biggest goalie movers of the offseason, yeah. I think, are a little bit overrated, overhyped in fantasy.
This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Just a few more for you here, and thank you again for taking the time to join me. Well, I'm looking at the Seattle Crack, and they're the new team, the expansion team. Not a lot of firepower up front. They got a solid decor. They got a good tandem in net. You just brought up Grubauer. But when it comes to the Seattle Kraken players, like, I mean, maybe outside of Eberle, like, you shouldn't jump on any of these guys. I mean, not even early, but not even mid-tier. Am I a little off on this, or do you agree?
I do think there's going to be some value from their defensemen, Mark Giordano or Vince Dunn. Vince Dunn has been a stud in the playoffs, has performed at a high level, but has always been like a secondary defenseman. So I'm really excited for Vince Dunn to have a breakout season for the Kraken. I think that their forward group right now is really ripping it up in the preseason with Jared McCann, Jaden Schwartz, Jordan Eberle. It's one thing to do it in the preseason, but it's another one to do it when you're facing defensemen like Alex Pietrangelo or Drew Doughty, or even, you know, whoever on some of these other teams in the Pacific, let alone the rest of the league. So, yeah, it's going to be a tall task for sure for Seattle to replicate what Vegas did a couple of years ago as an expansion team. I personally don't have them as a playoff team. I expect them to be competitive, but I think they do so through kind of like a more like well-rounded brand of hockey, not a high-scoring, exciting fantasy dream of an offense type of thing. So, yeah, I'm a little down on the Kraken. I was kind of hoping that they would maybe get Tarasenko or maybe get, you know, one of these other, you know, different players in the expansion draft. But I do think that they have built a well-rounded team with very little holes. So therefore, they should be competitive in the Pacific, which is, I mean, we were talking about the Oilers and the gaudy numbers they're going to put up in this division. It's clearly the most favorable division in the NHL this year out of the four. So it gives Seattle a chance for sure to be competitive at least.
Yeah, and one last one here for you. Today here at the station, we were talking about duos, and it's such a big part of hockey now. And here in Edmonton, McDavid and Draisaitl, we're all expecting they're going to lead the league in points when it comes to duos. If you had to pick a duo, and we had kind of the Colorado duo, Rantanen and McKinnon. We had Huberto and Barkov. We had Marner and Matthews, Point and Kucherov, or if you want to throw Stamkos in there, go ahead. And then kind of the trio in Boston. But, Pete, if I were to ask you who can push the duo of Edmonton, who would you select?
Oh, that's tough. I mean, you also have even, you know, and a lot of those guys play on separate lines, too, which makes it even more impressive. Like when you see Panarin and Zibanejad play on separate lines at even strength, and Barkov and Huberto, as of last year, they both were outstanding, and they were playing on separate lines and the same power play. So those are the guys that, you know, have the higher floor, because you can say for sure that they're not just products of one another and stuff like that. So, I mean, I do think that the Colorado Rantanen McKinnon duo has that type of a ceiling. I also think, like, even in Chicago, you know, you see Patrick Kane probably going to be a 100-point player this year. He's done it before. He's getting Jonathan Toews back.
Yeah.
They also have Alex DeBrincat, who, you know, has been one of the best goal scorers over the past two or three seasons in the NHL, finished third last year. So, yeah, there's so much going on out there, but I would say the Colorado guys are the only guys out there that have as high of a ceiling or anything close to it compared to those two Edmonton guys.
Pete, this has been absolutely amazing for me. I'm a big fantasy guy, and when I win this year's, I'll travel down, or we'll meet up somewhere, and I'll buy you a few rounds here. Thank you for all the tips and advice and the great breakdown as we get ready for the NHL season. Look forward to having you on maybe mid-season and see where we're at. But Pete, great stuff, and look forward to the season. Enjoy the season, and we'll chat soon.
Looking forward to it. And yeah, I know a lot of people were up in Edmonton were on our case a little bit last year because
yeah.
we were making the case for MacKinnon over McDavid.
Yeah.
Of course, we've kind of made that correction, I guess you could say. I know that the Oilers had their struggles in the playoffs, and MacKinnon looked like the better player in the playoffs, but we are talking fantasy here. And,
yeah.
You know, of course, McDavid and Draisaitl are a lock right now. So great to see them thriving up there. I hope that they can do more in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, it's not their fault. It's just I would love to see McDavid and Draisaitl go deep into the playoffs one of these years. So from an Edmonton standpoint, that's kind of what I'm hoping for as a hockey fan in the next couple of years, to see that happen. One time or another.
Oh, for sure. I think everybody here is with you on that. And you have McDavid and Draisaitl 1-2, so you are forgiven here in Edmonton, Pete. I'm making that call for all the fans here. Pete, good stuff, my friend. We'll chat soon.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me. And remember to check out NHL.com/fantasy and also the NHL Fantasy on Ice podcast for all your draft day needs. We've got a cheat sheet on NHL.com/fantasy, so we've pretty much covered it all. Let us help you win your league and do the best that you can in your draft, at least.
That was Pete Jensen from NHL.com, the head fantasy guru there. He was awesome. Great tips there. I definitely wrote everything he said down. we have our draft on Monday coming up here. So, yeah, I'm definitely going to look into, follow what he said and suggested. You can follow him on Twitter at NHL Jensen. He always has links up to their podcasts, to the rankings. So go check him out. But big shout out to Pete. We're going to wrap this edition up. We went long here. It's like getting you set for your fantasy drafts. But first, thanks for making the Locked On Oilers your first listen every day. Now make your second listen, Locked On Fantasy Hockey. Host Scott Collin leans on his decades of fantasy hockey insight and experience every day to help you be the expert of your fantasy league. It's free and available on all platforms. I hope you enjoyed this episode, and Oilers in action tonight, 7 o'clock. I already gave you the lines in the first segment. We'll see what happens. Can Kyle Turris produce up there in the top six? How will the big duo do with Jesse Puljujärvi on their wing? And another look at Cody Ceci and Mr. Duncan Keith, and Mike Smith gets a start in it. Enjoy the game. Remember, I'll be on the postgame show on TSN 1260 immediately following the game with Tom Gazzola. You can always hit me up on Twitter at HernanTheMan and at Locked On Oilers. Don't forget to download and subscribe on your favorite apps for all the latest episodes. For my man Juanito, I am Hernan the Man talking Los Petroleros. Enjoy the rest of your day. We'll chat tomorrow.